What do I mean by dark arts? Myself as a player, if I got contact in box, I'm going down. It's not diving. It was a foul on Will. He tried to stay up because he was honest. So sometimes you get punished for being a nice guy.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
League of Ireland, late night.
On Off the Ball with 888 Casino. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
All right, you're welcome along to League of Ireland, late night. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Shane Keegan.
Nathan, how are you?
I'm very well. Johnny Ward, how are you?
I'm good, Nathan.
Good. You were unmuted there for a while. I thought we might get a real insight into Johnny Ward. Johnny Ward behind the scenes.
Nobody wants that.
So, a lot to get through tonight. This is League of Ireland Late Night. It is basically a League of Ireland phone-in show on Twitter Spaces. If this is your first time, it's very easy to get involved. So we want your calls. Come on, have a chat about your team. Give us your thoughts on tonight's performance, what you've made of the season so far. If you want to get on air, just click on the microphone button on the bottom left-hand corner on your phone and we get you on air straight away. We'll have a chat. If you want to send a tweet, you can send that as well. Just reply to any of the posts. We'll try and get that. But we'd much prefer to have a chat with you over the next hour or so. So, Pat Hooban loving coming your way. First and foremost, Johnny, we're two west of Ireland men. Shane, bit more Midlands man. Hooban or Hoban?
You see, yeah, it's probably Hooban, but I suppose Patrick's background is complex as well. Like, you know, with his mother coming over from England, and he's never actually played for Galway United. And I genuinely did think it might happen in the off season, but to be honest, Nathan, I don't think it's going to happen now.
We kind of have to go with Hooban because the whole nickname, the nickname doesn't really work as the Hoobanator. Like, he has to be the Hoobanator. It's the only way to make it work. And for those that aren't aware, I'm not sure if it's still the case now that he's gone to Derry, but I did think it was one of the best things in the entire League of Ireland that Pat Hooban drove around Dundalk with the Hoobanator scrawled across the back of his car. Like, it was actually wrote across the back of his sponsored car at Dundalk. How class is that?
He's an amazing guy. Like, you see, when you're at his fundraising night at the end of last season, and the funny thing was, lads, like, Stephen O'Donnell came on, gave this impassioned speech, and I think, like, everyone had a few drinks at that stage, saying, like, Dundalk are going to be back. You know, mark my words, Dundalk are going to be back. And kind of Hooban's future was still sort of up in the air at that stage. And you look at the situation now where he has basically been the dominant force in the League of Ireland this season, and look at Dundalk.
Yeah, Dundalk beaten again tonight, 1-0 by Pats. Elsewhere, Johnny, you were watching Galway scoreless draw with Drogheda and Shells, top of the table, left it late, got themselves a penalty kick and a late goal from a set piece as well, a 2-0 win against the struggling Bulls at Daly Mount. On the League of Ireland podcast yesterday, Johnny, we'll give you some credit. You know, we're still the second most popular League of Ireland podcast. I know you're rising up the rankings quickly, yourself and Dan. Vinny was telling us the Pat Hooban's nickname was J-Lo.
J-Lo.
This is new to me.
Is what John Gillies called him because he has a... We were discussing the merits of his backside.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
Listen, I'm telling you, it is one of the biggest assets, biggest in both senses. One of the biggest assets in the league.
You don't need the ET at all.
Who's the one that you always hear? Kevin Keegan. Is either Kenny Dalglish or Kevin Keegan? I always hear one of those two praised for the ability they had to use their arse and constantly keep it between the ball and the man. But Hoobs is definitely the version of it in the League of Ireland. He uses it absolutely brilliantly, both in terms of how he protects the ball with it and in terms of the power that he manages to generate from it on his strikes. So, yeah, I can see how that nickname is an apt one too.
Well, last season, Nathan, I tipped up Tunde at Cork City to be top scorer and I was absolutely mocked out of the gate. And this season, I didn't tip up Patrick Hooban. I tipped up Franz Perrault at Drogheda. And he does have a very impressive kind of physique and, like, his back is kind of curved and you can definitely see he's rivaling the Hoobanator in terms of the asset. He hasn't scored. And how many does the Hoobanator now have? Six, is it?
Six, yeah. Though I did get a message from someone who was at the Brandywell who reckoned maybe his first one was an own goal. Now, he was only about 3 yards out, and it looked like he was side-footing it in, but maybe he didn't get a good connection on it. It definitely did hit the defender, but it looked like it was going in anyways. But look, I think...
It's not even the goal as well, Shane.
Best of luck to whoever tries to tell him that he's not able to claim that goal. best of luck to them.
But he got the penalty in Tala as well, and that vital header to get them back against St. Pat's, and like Derry still have Whelan to come back, like, and you're wondering who's favourite for the title at this stage.
Shane, who is favourite for the title?
I think it'd be a bit presumptuous now to start hurling the end of Rovers just yet. No, I would still say that it's Rovers' title to lose. Look, they've played what? Rovers have played 3 games, is it? Yet to play this weekend, and obviously had one of their games called off. Look, they're like City across the water, Rovers, and this is where I was saying to you last week that I felt the Monday night game was actually a must win for Derry, because I think Rovers are so good in the second half, and they've nailed it down so well now that they're so good in the second half of the season, that Derry do have to build up a really, really big lead over the first half. They can't just be like, if Derry are three points clear at the halfway point, I'm backing Rovers all day long under no circumstances. I think Derry need to be closer to triple that. I think they need to be 9 points clear at the halfway point.
That's interesting, Johnny, because I was talking to Rory Higgins after the game on Monday night, and look, he's in a post-match interview, he's talking to the media, so you know he's going to speak in very calm tones, and while he was frustrated about the late concession in Tala, you know, he was quite positive, saying they'd gone to Sligo and got a point, tough away game. They gone to Tala and got a point, tough away game. But actually, like, that's what cost them the title last year. They didn't win enough games. They drew way too many games. And if you want to win the league, actually, you're going to have to win some of those tough away trips.
Yeah, but the problem last season was, like, they kind of, with the Whelan injury, they kind of banked on Jamie McGonigal, who at times looked like the striker that maybe Higgins thought he would be, but ultimately didn't score that many goals. And what's, I suppose, frightening if I'm a Shamrock Rovers fan now is that at the moment, Derry City, not only do they not have Whelan, they're missing basically 3 outstanding central midfielders. And in a very kind of simple mathematical equation, you add Derry City last season, who were basically probably in the ascendancy in the title race if they beat, or they were a point behind, I think, if they beat Rovers and Tala when Rovers got that late goal. So you add Patrick Hooban to that, and then you're like, okay, who's favourite for the league here? The only thing is, I don't think Shamrock Rovers were anywhere near their best last season. And the big question, Nathan, as well, is, are Shelburne now in the title race? Because they're not conceding goals, and they're only getting going themselves. And I'll make a prediction here of sorts. I think it'll be a 3-pronged title race for 2/3 of the season. I think Shells will hang on in there for a long time and will improve as well. And if defences win your league, they're just not coughing up chances.
All right, get your calls in. It's always a slow burner at the start. And then when we want to go to bed at about 11:30 tonight, everyone wants to get in touch. So get your calls in early. We'll definitely get to you then. Bottom left-hand corner, click on the little microphone. If you're at a match tonight, any Bulls fans out there, worrying start to the season, tight enough game against Shells, conceded a couple of late goals. What about Shells fans? Are you in that title race that Johnny's talking about? Johnny, you were watching Galway 0, Drogheda 0. Ball in airtime, what would you estimate of that?
3 days or so, but like, to be honest, like, I was, you know, talking to a lot of United fans afterwards, they're kind of negative about the game, but it was very, very windy, and I would take loads of positives. Like, conceded 3 goals in 6 games now against Premier Division opposition from last season, is 7 games if you take the 2 games in the cup, and again, really, like, dominated the game, kind of lack of cutting edge up front, Nathan. I was actually looking up, where is Tunde Olabi now, because he's like the type of player nearly that Ollie Horgan would bring in, did so well with him at Harps, and maybe score a couple of goals, but made 5 changes in the second half, played well, like, kind of were always in the ascendancy. I suppose the controversial moment of the game, if you're a Drogheda fan, was Darragh Markey had a shot sort of around the hour mark. Conor McCormick sort of threw himself at the ball. There's been a lot of talk about a certain guy maybe not getting the Ireland job at the minute. I don't know if you remember Lee Carsley's handball against Turkey in that ill-fated game at Lansdowne Road all those years ago. It was kind of like that. Yeah, and it was kind of, I don't think it's a handball, but like if it's VAR in the Premier League, his arms are out. It does hit his arm. Badger got back to me and said it was like very, very close range shot. But it probably is a penalty in the kind of modern rules of the game. Other than that, United were by far the better team, just couldn't score.
You did mention top scorer bets, and I'm still bitter about COVID for many reasons, Johnny, but when your Graham Burke tipped that year and he scored 5 goals, what was it, 2 weeks into the season in one match? I know we were all going to be quids in, and I'm pretty sure the whole thing was null and void.
Is that the reason that you don't rate Graham Burke, actually?
I never said I don't rate Graham Burke. I'm just saying in comparison to some other players, I don't rate him as highly as you do. And as Shane does. Ever since I've said that, every time he gets on the ball, I get a little bit nervous.
and Johnny, can I ask, was there anybody at Eamon DC Park blaming the poor affair on you? Because like there hasn't been a nil all since they've returned to the Premier Division. You make an appearance and everything goes to shit. Is there a common denominator here? No?
I think, to be fair, it might be climate change. We had a bit of a joke about this during the week, but it was very, very windy. And like all the United fans are like, I never want that 90 minutes back. And as much as the ball was in the air, like there is a discernible change, Shane, with the way United are playing now. They're not, it's not just hoofing the ball long. Like they are going through a very strong midfield. Ed McCarthy is like a player that's, you know, I hadn't seen up until the start of last season. And it's just that kind of lack of cutting edge. What seemed to come back in might make a difference. But the way United are playing now, I'd be very, very surprised if they went down the season. And I said at the start of the season, we will be in a relegation scrap. I couldn't see why not. But the way we're playing, we're just not coughing up chances. And I think we'll grow as a team. And I put it to you lads now, who's going to go down and who's going to be in that battle if Dundalk don't improve?
Yeah, but you're making that point on the back of a game where you were at home to the team who are favourites to go down. Surely is tonight not exactly the kind of game that Galway need to be winning if they're not going to be involved in that end of things?
We were playing against a team who beat Bowes comprehensively the other day. The favourites go down at the moment 100% are Dundalk. So Drogheda have been a team that, granted, like in terms of budget, would be the team that you'd expect to go down. But I was in Talca the other night as well. I thought we were very, very good. And I'd be full of positivity. Not so much the fact that we're getting results and we're losing by the odd goal or we're winning away from home or we're getting draws. It's the way they're approaching the game and real change of kind of style since they came out of the First Division. And I no team would want to come to Galway at the moment apart from for the night out.
All right, let's get to our first caller of the night. Barry Kay is with us. BK Bowes is going to give us a hint, I think, as to what he wants to talk about. Barry, are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hear you loud and clear, loud and clear.
Okay, sound
well. Did you make it tonight?
Oh, just I'm after legging it for the bus, so give you a sec.
It's all right. We're well used to having lads on the bus. Usually it's the presenters.
Yeah. Look, our top bows were kind of contained shells, probably the best word for the first half. I would imagine Duffer gave the instruction of, you know, the lads are going to come out fire and brimstone for the first half an hour, 40 minutes. Let them punch themselves out and they'd run out of steam eventually. And true to that, they did. Came out second half, made a couple of changes made no impact, completely toothless. Penalty looked very soft to me. We were standing facing it looked like Keane Byrne stopped the ball and Boydie stripped over it, went down, ref gave it. It is what it is. Free kick again, very soft, defending non-existent, just free header in the box, touched the pass Casper, conceded that goal 100 times over at this stage. After that, then Duff, you know, delved into the Mourinho tactics book and the boys went down for everything and played everything and just, you know, for want of a better phrase, out-professionalised the Bowes players, you know. So I don't know what we expected. I watched Devine at the end as well. He thanked all the officials, shook all the Bowes players' hands and went straight down the tunnel. Didn't come over to the fans at all. Lads around the tunnel obviously giving them colourful language, nice hand signals, and I'd say you could be nearing the end, to be fair, because it's more than a season in now and it's the same errors over and over again. It's very frustrating to watch as a fan obviously as well, because you're trying to give them the rope but they just keep hanging themselves with the rope every weekend, you know, or every Friday and Monday. It's the same old story all the time.
And what is the general vibe there, Michael, towards the management at the moment? I just see one of our listeners on at the moment. I know had a bit of exchange with Dan online today in relation to Dan's newsletter and Dan talking about how he kind of highlighted a couple of managers who are under pressure. And I do get, I am broadly in agreement that it's still very, very, very early in the season to say that any manager is under pressure. Yeah. And yet if look, you're a fool if you're going to take your barometer from what you see online. And yet I can't help but looking at bits and pieces online, and certainly if you look at the final score tonight on the Bo's Twitter feed and look at some of the comments under it, there does seem to be a lot of negativity towards Decky at the moment.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, it's like, you know, I try to be reasonable. I'm involved in football myself. I'm a referee as well, and you know, try and say to the lads, look, you know, after the first round, then you can kind of make a judgment call. But after 3-4 games, but it obviously feeds in from across the water, where it's just like, you know, super high, super low, hyper reaction to everything. Mm. You know, if we win, you know, it's the greatest planet, the greatest place in the world. We lose, the worst place in the world. And that's like literally how it is, week in, week out. After we Pats, unbelievable, title charges on. Lewis the drugs on Monday. Jeez, we're looking to stay up next year, boys. We'll play Kerry away. It won't be a great day out for the lads. Do you know? And that's literally the reaction we have. But again, it's the Vines had all of last season. And, you know, we given them the benefit of the doubt and say, I'll get better. But, like, it's the same errors all the time. And just a really soft centre. I wouldn't say cheating is the word, like, but no professionalism, like, of, you know, to, like, yourself, Shane, bit of management, like, just to make the foul, to stop the ball, do you know that kind of way, and take the yellow card, like, none of that at all. Like, it's completely fucking toothless in the middle. Like, it's just, like, passing. Like, even tonight, the ball's played with the four with two in front and then a one, you know, and every time either of the six has won the header, there's no eight then in front of them to garner, or the 1-8 that is there is occupied by, you know, one of their other players. And it was just like, come on, boys, like, you guys are supposed to be the paid professionals. I'm the amateur here and I can see it, like, you know, so.
And yet, like, I look at the quality that you have in the final third. Okay, maybe a little bit of a problem at nine, but that line of players behind the nine, like, when you look at, like Rooney had a fantastic season last year at Drogheda. Clark, I thought, was top class, really, really good for yourselves last year.
Man of the match.
Was he? Yeah, good.
Dylan Connolly
obviously has been across the water. The one that I'm completely bamboozled by, I've said it before, is Danny Grant. What's going on? I mean, Danny Grant was the most exciting player in the League of Ireland when he went across, and he just seems to be a shadow of that man since he came back.
Yeah, completely regressed. Even tonight, we kind of said, we seven the lads were in the pub discussing it, whatever, and they're saying, geez, Danny Grant, this year, he's going to be phenomenal, you know?
Yeah.
Watch him tonight, man, he's gone backwards. You're like, what the? He's just like two left feet, like, it was unbelievable. And I don't know, like, he doesn't come across like a lad that's lacking confidence, you know? He's the flashy boots and he's giving it that, and you chat to him and he's great banter, like, you know? But then you're like, fuck, you're onto the pitch, mate. You're like, Jesus, what the hell is going on here? Like, you know, it's I don't know what stories with him, but even, it's like two-thirds of the pitch are grand. But even tonight, he's playing Jordan Flores, left centre-back, after signing, like, a capped, you know, your man Keita, he's capped underage for the States, like, you know, so he has to be of a certain level. I know he made the mistake against Dundalk, but he still has to be of a certain level to be capped underage internationally. Do you know that kind of way? I'm sure he's got a bit of instruction and a video during the week here. You know, you can see that he thought about going, Casper thought about staying, Casper thought about going, he thought about staying, and that's how the ball went in from Weir's free kick. So you're like, come on, lads, can we not get a bit of communication going here? Like, it's not rocket science, you know, but again, it's not whip him out, put Flores in, wearing the six, playing left centre back. You're like, what's going on here? Like, you know, and Jordan Flores, to be fair, that one performance against Pats is probably the only performance he's put in about two seasons for Bowes. You know, I was amazed he got a new contract.
Shane, if you were going back into your kind of, I'm available for a League of Ireland job, and just hypothetically, Dundalk and Bowes came up, would you take the Dundalk job if it came up, and how much would you relish taking over this Bowes squad if it came up?
I feel like you're setting me up for a fall here now. That's a dodgy sort of a question, to put it mildly. So I am not currently looking for the Bose or Dundalk job. Let's preempt any answer with that line. Both, let's be honest, Johnny, neither squad might have the quality that they have had in past seasons. Like, Bose fans were absolutely spoiled during the Keith Long era. Unbelievable ability to have an outstanding season, lose their best players, somehow replace them all seamlessly and have another outstanding season. And obviously Dundalk, you know, we hardly need to cover the highs that they've had. So that level of quality isn't in either squad. Yet I do think there is enough quality in both squads, not, in my opinion, not to have to worry about getting sucked into a relegation battle. I know you're saying Dundalk now must be favourites to go down. They probably are, based on the way the season has started, but not based on the quality that's there. They still have too much in that group. In my opinion, I think there's too much.
Why aren't they playing well after five games then?
I don't know. Like, there's no point me giving you some pretend answer or making up an answer.
Like, we've both spoken about how much we rate Stevie, like, and I rate Stevie as highly as any manager. I'm just wondering why they're not creating chances. Didn't see the game tonight, but why are they at such a low profile?
I've got a message in here from Derek saying they look a shadow of their former selves. They're in big, big trouble. Experienced players like Boyle and Benson way off the pace. Horgan getting subbed off.
Mm.
And like, you looked at Daryl Horgan when he came in the second half of last season, you thought, cool, like, a step above most players in the league.
Even the Rovers game, Nathan. Like, even the Rovers game, he was very, very good.
But it's, and Andy Boyle last week as well wasn't good. So, but one thing, you're obviously concerned, and, you know, talking about the performance there. Like, it's scoreless. I know you want to be winning these games at home against Shells, but it's scoreless until the penalty decision. And, you know, you're a referee, so try and take off your Bulls hat for a second and put on your referee's hat. How's that given? Because I looked at it three or four times, and every time, like, this is as soft as you get.
Yeah, so from where we were standing, we were in block A, kind of looking straight at Boydy, and it looked as if Keane Bourne stopped the ball and Boydy went to run and tripped over the ball. So, if depending on the angle the referee had, because, you know, as the refs are coached, you should never be looking at it straight on. So, even I can presume, Paul, he kind of ran, you know, to give himself the angle to look at it. And it looked like he literally stopped the ball and Boydy tripped over it. And, like, even you see the free that, what was it, Dylan Watts against Pahuban last week. It's so soft. Like, it's like, come on, like, it's marshmallow.
It was actually very similar, very, very similar.
Yeah, you know, so it's just like, I don't know what the directives is with the lads. It, you know, they obviously have their meetings and their briefings before the game, and, you know, obviously experienced refs, and I've worked with some of them, like, but it's just, I don't know whether it's trying to temper expectation because of everything across the water, and you see VAR and penalties are given for the most ridiculous things, and they're trying to think we need to keep up with the lads, or, you know, I personally would be adopting the other approach. I would be trying to reel it back in and say, you know, it's a Dublin derby here. There's going to be a bit of needle, you know what I mean? We need to let the game flow a bit. But again, depending on the ref's angle, you're making a snap decision within that split second. You don't have VAR, and can I just say, nor do we want it. Nor do we want it. It's one of the greatest things about the League One. We don't bloody want that in this league. But you know, ref makes the decision. You know, at the end of the day, it's his decision. As much as we are standing there, lads, we're complaining. Like, it wasn't a complete meltdown complaining. Like, lads were saying, soft, but it's nearly expected to be given in the game in this day and age, in that kind of way. So it's just, you win some, you lose some, but I just felt that Bowles overall, you know, just a bit, you know, not even, it's the same old, a bit toothless, a bit just, you know, lacking the bite, lacking the needle. And I get, obviously, what Nathan was saying about the guys, you know, come up from the longer days where it's like rebuild, you know, refresh, rebuild, you know, challenge and stuff, but them days are gone. Like, you know, it's professional league now, and, you know, Barra Drogs, obviously, like, but they're going places too. And, you know, I don't know. We thought the signings they made were good. You know, they come from, you know, good heritage and good, like, I don't understand why Luke Matheson isn't playing. You know, a guy who's in absolute flying form in Bolton, he's brought across the water, is playing, you know, second fiddle to a guy who's played in the Estonian League. Like, I don't know how to compare, like, but for us, obviously, in Ireland, it's the eternal you know, football pyramid across the water, like, and if he can't get in, like, you know, he must really rate Lallana, like, but for me, he was an absolute stocking this evening. Like, he gave the ball away so many times, like, because Dylan Connolly was looking, so it was coming from Casper, going to Lallana, going on to Connolly. He was obviously looking for a bounce to spin in behind him because he had Wilson on toast in the first half. He really had him rattled, and then it was just getting stuck in his feet, and then your man McManus was getting involved, and he was the same, and you're like, what is going on here, boys? Surely to God, you're training 5 days a week, 6 days a week, you can work patterns of play, and they, you know, we've been over to the ECU, they have grass, they have Astro, so you've no, you know, excuse there. Oh, we're used to playing on a certain surface or anything, but it was just like, you know, if you take out James McMahon or James Clark and Dylan Connolly tonight, like, you know, wow, it could, you know, you could be looking 5-6-0, like, you know, they really were the difference makers, even though they made little or no difference, but they got stuck in and put themselves about, like, it was just...
Just as well, Nathan, I give Boydie a bit of credit because, like, he would have been...
Because he listens in and you're worried that he might hear what you're saying.
He absolutely nailed Cian Byrne with the elbow, and we all saw it as well. So,
like, coming off the pitch kind of on Monday at Talca, like, he was kind of, you know, he's been suspended or whatever, and you're looking at a guy who's probably itching to be playing, but, like, he made a vital, vital intervention, and, like, Barry references how, you know, clever Hooban was that penalty with Dylan Watts. Boydie was very, very clever. And if Shells are going to mount a challenge for whatever it is this season, that was a massive, massive moment. He was very clever, came off the bench and made a massive intervention tonight.
Barry, fair play to you. You're supporting the Bulls sponsor. You're on the Dublin bus. Whereabouts are you?
Yeah. We're just coming to Carpenterstown, just casting off. Going to 37. The 38 went by, and that's the bus that's wrapped with the Bulls wrap.
If you see the 37, give it a hoot there. And I'm thinking there could be an opening here. We could do League of Ireland Ref Watch, and we could get you on every Monday, Barry. And you could reflect on all the decisions from all your colleagues every week.
Nathan, no problem at all. You know, I've thought about suggesting this to you guys. I listen to all the pods, all the League of Ireland stuff. Johnny and Dan every week keep me going, and yourselves are off the ball. So, you know, I do
be the League of Ireland's Mark Clattenburg.
I don't know about that now, Shane. I've actually read his book as well, actually, but I don't know about this new referee consultant position he adopted. No. But
if a
big Greek is going to offer you $500,000 a year and a few kebabs, you know, it'd be a fool not to take it. So,
all right, Barry, fair play to you. Thanks a lot for coming. Cheers. Safe home.
Thanks, lad.
You're listening to League of Ireland late night. If you're joining in, thanks a lot for hopping on tonight. If you want to get involved, click on the little microphone button on the bottom left-hand corner. We'll get you on. Michael has been waiting. Michael Barron, you've been waiting for quite a while to come on and talk to us on League of Ireland late night. Are you there, Michael? Silence from Michael. I did like from Barry, Johnny, his new term, they were out-professionalized Bulls, which is, that's a sort of line Duffer, I think, could take and make his own.
Yeah, like this is, I hate like trying to slag managers and all that, because like Decky was on our podcast last season and he's like so likable. When he got the job, I was a little bit surprised, because I would have thought that his last term at Derry was kind of, you know, it was okay, but he'd kind of gone, and you know, Derry had sort of subsequently improved, and Bowes make a big deal out of the 7-figure merchandise sales they have. So there is money at that club. It's such an attractive club. I was slightly surprised that they went with him. That was grand. Falabi had a great season, but if you're comparing the bench tonight, like, you see, you have Decky, who's struggling for, you know, probably struggling for confidence a bit at the moment, and you're invoking Mourinho with Duff and Joey O'Brien, and they're just so well coached, these two, Shelburne are, and you're just like, it does make a difference. And however far this Shelburne team goes under Duff and O'Brien, who I think are just like, they're an outstanding duo, like, Bowes, they just don't look like a team that really know what they're doing. And they were so, so poor in Drogheda as well. No away fans, one of these nights against a team that wasn't in great shape itself, to kind of put your grit into the performance. They didn't do it. And, you know, anecdotally, between Pat Fenlon and the management team, certainly Pat Fenlon and Decky, I'm not sure if they're on great terms at the moment. That's what I'm hearing. And obviously neither is here to, you know, dispute that or not. But Pat Fenlon is a very kind of true character, and he'll be probably involved whatever happens, but it's just hard to see this going on at Bowes, because there's so much unrest in the stands, and generally they just don't look great on the pitch at all.
All right, let's go to Jason Shanahan. Jason, can you hear us?
Lads, how are we? Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear. What have you got to say for yourself?
Perfect. Yeah, I'm just on the way back from the Tralee United match. A bit of a disappointing result, but it's another point on the board, nevertheless. And I think, to take the words of my brother, any Friday you go out and don't get bit isn't a bad Friday.
Still unbeaten?
Yeah, still top of the pile for now, anyway. You know, I'd have to go back and I'm a bit of a stato, but it's our best ever start. I think in our first and second season, it took us 6 games to get to 10 points. And we're on 10 points after 4 games. So look, it's a start, but that's all it is.
What has he gone so well, Jason? I was making the point last week that, like, you've arguably got the least amount of turnover, I would think, near enough in the division from season to season. Obviously, when the new investment came in, there was an awful lot of talk of money going to be splashed and all of that kind of thing. But that hasn't really turned out to be the case. By and large, Tommy is working with a fairly similar group that he had last year, a group that, I won't say underperformed, because they probably still finished above where their budget would be, but considering how much he overperformed in the first 2 years, it was a bit of a drop off last year, but he seems to have bounced back better than ever.
I wouldn't say we have the same squad as last year, though. We've lost Dean George, Success Edigan, Jordan Callan, Dean O'Shea, Mark Ludden, Conor Wynn, Darren Nwankwo is out injured for the season. I'm sorry, not for the season, but he's out long term injured. Like, we've lost a fair chunk of players, and to be fair, Tommy has had to kind of, maybe not start from scratch, but he's kind of started over. He's gone for a very new-look squad. I spoke to him last week, and I suppose the club is still only 5 years old, and a lot of people forget that, myself included. But I think the academy is starting to kind of bear fruits now. Shane, you've probably seen that yourself maybe a bit. But some of the academy is starting to come through now, with the likes of Robbie Lynch and Darren Nwankwo, who are two excellent local players. I agree with Tavares. Scott
Harkin looks a right good player as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, do you know, and that's a, thanks for bringing him up, actually, Shane, because Scott didn't start playing under Edge League Vernon until 19s. Now, look, I know maybe the bar for maybe underage League of Ireland would be lower here than, let's say, maybe Dublin, but there's not many lads who are coming straight in at 19s and then making it to the senior team. So, it's a fair compliment from Scott, and it shows, I suppose, the late developers we have in the game at the minute.
Yeah, no, look, you're off. I'll be honest, I didn't see it coming. I would have looked at the likes of Brain, the likes of Wexford, and the money that they've got and the additions that they were making. And look, as I say, you've arguably highlighted my point even more. I would have looked and maybe thought that he had an even weaker squad this year than he had last year, which I just think means that the job that Tommy is doing for me is absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. It just can't be highlighted enough. And he just gets a tune out of players. He really does. It's disappointing that you actually didn't manage to hold out for the win. I think it would have been an outstanding result. I think, to be honest with you, I think Bray would have had serious question marks if they had been beaten again tonight. They really needed that comeback. Did they deserve it? Did you let it slip after being ahead? Or what way did you feel it went?
Yeah, well, you know, we had a dream start. We were inside. We were ahead after 90 seconds. I think it was up on Twitter that it's Tralee United's fastest ever men's goal. So that's something to shout about. But, you know, we two great goals at half time, and, you know, we were probably the better side. I think the second half, we sat back a little bit more, and I think we were a bit sloppy going forward, and we just kind of invited Montes. And, you know, they have the players, in fairness. They've the likes of Shane Griffin. Shane, that you were very complimentary of on the other two Ligas. I think he's a brilliant player. I think he's a real top class player. They have a couple of other great young lads coming through as well. And I suppose when you invite them onto you, you know, you risk getting in trouble. And to be honest, they could have snuck a 3-2 at the end. We were probably happy to take the point.
Boys, did you notice Dan, I'm after calling him Nathan Dan. Johnny and Nathan. Did you notice? Did you notice who scored for Bray tonight? If you want to make yourself feel very, very old. The equalizing goal tonight was scored by Thomas Morgan, as in Thomas Morgan, son of Thomas Morgan.
That is mad.
Doesn't that make you feel very old?
Thomas Morgan, one of the Kerr's kids, like, who I saw playing in some sort of like five-a-side game recently. And in fairness, Thomas Morgan has aged a bit over the years. But like, when I saw Jason Cabia, when I saw his son kind of playing, I was like, then Shane, I just had to reconcile myself to the fact that, you know, I was getting old. But just on the treaty thing, like the fact that, you know, after being 2-0 up, you know, at home to kind of, I suppose they were probably favourites to win tonight. And after being 2-0 up and after the start that they had, that you're so positive about things, Jason is telling as well.
Yeah, do you know what? Like we're four games in now, the atmosphere has been very, very, very good around the club. So like, it's our second home game, and even, I suppose, our kind of our core travelling support would be the Blue Army, and they've kind of rallied together and decided, right, if things go bad, we're going to stay behind them. You know, if a goal goes in, we'll just start singing again. And in fairness, if you kind of didn't look at the scoreboard, you probably wouldn't know the result tonight. Now, as it happens, I was operating the scoreboard, so I didn't know. But
you could have changed everything.
I could have, yeah. I had a million and one jobs tonight, so I didn't have to change
it. If you do a good job, Jason, Duffer is all about the scoreboard this season and its importance. You know, you could get the big gig.
Yeah, he's in my head, and I'd like to be in his scoreboard position. So. But no, look, there's a good atmosphere around the club at the minute. I suppose, in fairness to the Blue Army, like, and they're, I've probably been guilty of criticising them before, but they've been absolutely top notch. Even a fortnight ago, we were up in UCD and Ender Curran missed a penalty, and you've probably every right to kind of maybe go stump for a second because it kind of sucks the life out of the room. But in fairness, they got right behind the team and we ended up grabbing a winner to win there. But it's been brilliant. Two crowds in, two big crowds. So we have 4,100 over our first two home games. And just an interesting stat. So we've 4,100 after our first two home games. We had 4,400 in after our first six home games of last year. So look, it's a step in the right direction. There's great potential there for Limerick football, but you know, it has to be a start, and we kind of do need to get ourselves into the community more and make sure it's not just a results business and we're not just the latest bandwagon to jump on and jump off. You know, that we're kind of here for good, and you know, it's not about the results, it's about the football club.
You remind me of that joke Patrick Healy used to tell. It was the provisional IRA, the continuity IRA. I can't believe it's not the IRA. When are you going to be called Limerick again?
After look, you know, we've had a fair few guys. It's a bit like Galway United, Johnny, who I think hit the bullet about 10 years ago. Yeah, we've had a fair few guys. Limerick football has had a fairly long history, and if there's any historians here, there's a very good talk Gary Spain did about an hour and a half long talk about the history of Limerick football. All the way back to 1891, where a regiment of the Black Watch played out of the Markets Field in the old Irish Cup. But look, I'll hope, look, it'll be nice if the Limerick name came into it. To be honest, I'm not too pushed either way. There's plenty that are for it, there's some that are against it. To be honest, I'm just happy to have a team to support, because I can remember watching in 2020 when there was no LOI to use for first division, crappy streams of Bray matches and Cove matches, and trying to get into it, and it just wasn't the same when you've no skin in the battle. You know, and when Limerick FC went to the wall, it was one of the saddest things I can recall. So to be honest, regardless if they're Treaty United or Ragball Rovers, I'm just kind of delighted to have a side in the city and county that I can get behind, and I think we're on to something good and to maybe put behind the demons of the past, hopefully, and hopefully it's not a false dawn.
Tell me, Jason, did you have Jay Demerit at the game tonight?
We did, actually, yeah. I shook his hand as I was leaving. He was wearing leather gloves. a proper classy man, but
he shook your hand.
He shook my hand, yeah. I suppose, like, having Jay Demerit at a Treaty United game does kind of fit in with the bizarre.
You're the League of Ireland's Wrexham at the moment, Jason.
I do remember, actually, it's funny, there was a camera crew following around Kieran McCormick, was it 2 weeks ago? We had some documentary. It was away at UCD, and the following day there was a women's friendly. I don't know what the documentary was about. I just hope that someone good plays me in it. But yeah, like, and the wild thing is that Jay DeMera designed their new kits. It's a bit wild, like.
So,
I don't know, look, it's nice to have a bit of a buzz, just to give some people something to talk about. We've got a good thing going at the minute. I just hope we can keep it going, because, you know, a pat on the back is only a couple of inches away from a boot up the hole. You know, things can turn so quickly.
Yeah, that's what this show is all about, Jason. Fair play, yeah. Thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks, lads. Have a good evening.
Let's go to Shane Kennedy. Shane.
How are you doing, lads? All good. It's going to be hard to follow him. Sorry about that.
All right. So you were you out-professionalised Bulls tonight. There was a bit of the dark arts that Duffer's been trying to explain away. There was players going down a little bit easily in the box here. Whatever it takes, Shane.
Before we come to that, we're only out there getting this back up, and Johnny's trying to get Shane a job. Would he give him a few weeks at least?
Shane's a guy, man.
Yeah.
Fine.
Holy God, like, we're only out there getting the back. And a great point you made about Galway. We're going to share in a second, but great point Shane made about Galway. Should be beating Drogheda at home.
It's early days, son.
Yeah, but you're at home, you should be beating them. Tonight, look, I'm not going to get into the Asian Kennedy bashing people, but your man said 30 to 40 minutes. It was more like 3 or 4 minutes Bowes had on top in the second half. They dropped Clark back into the 2 centre midfielders from the 10 to the 6 or the 8, whatever you want to call it. And we just kind of, he got on the ball, he's a bit lively, but then we got the grips with that and we were comfortable tonight. Like, we were just out-skilled rather than, what was it, out-professionalised, was it?
You out-professionalised them, yeah.
Out-coached, out-skilled, just better players. But better players who have been, Mark Hoyle, like, he was at Finn Harps, and if you had told me, I was very critical of JJ only a few years ago, and to be fair, if you had told me now, 3 years ago, we'd be top of the league out of 5 games with JJ only playing centre midfield, I'd have laughed at you.
But I'm telling you, Shane, it's coaching.
He doesn't give the ball away. But he's making forward passes, and it's the passes into the wing forwards that are, or even not even the wing forward. He made a couple of passes to Caffrey, came on, and he made a couple of passes to the other left centre midfielder. Even Duffer plays the three centre midfielders tonight, and the right sided player plays on the left, and the left sided player plays on the right. But like, he's able to make the in swinging pass into the midfield, if you get me.
Yeah. If there's a player in the league at this stage, if you had a late Damien Duff, a player in the league who looks and passes the ball with the left foot like Damien Duff would, it actually is Lunny. And Duffer is probably saying to Lunny, this is what you should do, this is how we believe in you. And you can just see he's grown as a player.
Oh, every single pass we make, it's off the training ground. Every time someone gets the ball, you know where it's going to next. That's like, we look so comfortable. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but The pitches are holding us back. Like, when we start getting on better pitches and it's not bubbling all over the place, every time we get the ball, we know exactly what we're doing. Like, and fans are giving out about, oh, cross the ball, but we just recycle it, keep the possession, wear the teams out. And it was 3 or 4 minutes. A man said 30 to 40. It was nothing. That right back was...
Sure. Talca Park is the worst grass pitch in the league.
No, I'm not having to go at pitches. So I just mean it's the weather. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, in the summer, the pitches will be better. They'll be drier. They'll be able to get on top of it. But at this stage of the season...
It's going to get better.
At this stage of the season, every season, the pitches are poor. No, we don't have the money to maintain them throughout the winter, which is fair enough. Like, but as the pitches get better, we'll get better. Our players will not have to deal with balls all over the pitch.
Are they title contenders, Shane?
Sorry?
Are they title contenders?
I'll tell you what,
Johnny. It's just, I know we keep going on about it, but as you're well aware, I'm a man who's fond of numbers, right? So just to emphasize how unbelievably well they're coached. And this is not to say that he's only able to coach defensive football. They're obviously developing...
He and Joey.
Yes, absolutely. And they're obviously developing another dimension. But most good managers will try and get the defensive side right before then trying to layer the next bit on top. But it's still the defensive side is the bit that's just kind of mind-blowingly good. So last three games, if we include tonight's game, so the Bohemians game, the Galway game, and the Sligo game, shots on target, right? I'm not talking about goals scored. I'm just talking about shots on target. They conceded two tonight. They conceded one against Galway, and they conceded two against Sligo. Like, you're not going to concede very many goals if that's the amount of... the keeper doesn't even have to make very many saves, never mind pick the ball out of the back of the net. They're unbelievably hard to break down. Unbelievably hard to break down.
I have to, sorry to cut across whoever's going to talk, but if you actually watch us this year, we're not hard to break down. It's pretty difficult to break us down because we don't give the ball away. Galway had 15 minutes of huffing and puffing, and that was it. But even the corners, if you check the Galway match, the corners aren't from Craw. They're not from shots or the keeper making a great save. It's from blocks. It's from, but like, they had 15 minutes, and that was it. We keep the ball, and Caulfield said that after Galway. We keep the ball so well, we don't give it away. Like,
the night they beat Rovers, and listening to Duffer on the sideline, and, you know, the great thing about the press box in Talkie, or what, you know, 10 metres away from us, you can hear almost everything. Two or three times when the defenders had the ball and they were clearing it, he said, lads, we defend on the front foot. Roar it at them. We defend on the front foot. And wanted them, obviously. And I'm wondering, is that different from last year?
Yeah, it's different from what I saw last year, if I'm honest. Yeah, I do think it is. But again, Nathan, I think that's about layering it. I think when you're in your first season or so, you do kind of, you know, maybe drop that a little bit deeper and try and get solidity and all that. And then you can start to progress that game plan a little bit more. And I think, look, I'll be honest, you know, I've had conversations with Johnny and Dan where, you know, the Duffer's name came up in relation to the Irish job and all of that kind of stuff. And I was saying I didn't quite see it yet. I thought it was very, very early in his kind of in his managerial career for him to be stepping to that level. And even though they did very well last year, that I would like to see a longer body of work. But he's kind of week by week, he's putting me more and more in my place. Like, he's just, you really can't over-egg just how much of it. Like, I suppose, and I say this as a compliment to you, Shane, rather than as an insult to you, I still think if you write down the Shelburne starting 11 as individual players, as what we know about them from their careers, not how they're currently playing, don't get me wrong, their seasons to date, the way you described JJ Lunny, right? I think if you write down the Shelburne starting 11 and you write down the Dundalk starting 11, on previous form, I would take the Dundalk starting 11 as being stronger. And yet, look at where the two teams are in the league because of the level that Duffer has those players playing to.
That's a big statement, Shane. That is a big statement.
I can't say I even know half of that Dundalk team anymore.
you know who Andy Boyle and Darrell Morgan are. Don't pretend you don't.
First of all, the goalkeeper situation. Like, you have a goalkeeper coming into Dundalk, like, who's on loan from Forest, no experience. So they've come in with, they brought in Conor Kearns, they've had a really, really solid back four, and they've worked from there. You can't say this is a better Dundalk team on paper than that Chelsea team.
I would have fancied Daryl Horgan this year to be a good bit ahead of any of the attackers that I would have seen at Chelsea. That could have been a flash in the pan.
Can I ask you a question? How many players have been successful that have returned from England over the past 5 years?
It's a common enough trait at the moment, all right.
How many players have been successful?
The problem with Daryl is that he will need that yard of pace that he's probably losing a bit, whereas Jarvis has loads of upside. But like, I'm interested, well, Shane, I don't know if you're kind of aware of the, like, Stephen Kenny's comments that, like, the manager, if he's coming from the League of Ireland, the next Ireland manager needs to have done a body of work that involves a bit more than coaching in the League of Ireland, which you know, was a fairly interesting comment to make.
Yeah, reasonably fair, I do think.
Which means Duffer isn't good enough right now.
No, I think, do you not think he was talking about Stephen Bradley there?
Perhaps he was, but...
Yeah, well, is no experience managing in Europe better than experience but having not really managed to achieve yet. I mean, that's the difference there. One is, you know, one has been domestically absolutely dominant, but probably hasn't been happy with what they've achieved in Europe yet, whereas the other literally hasn't had any European experience yet. They have, they will get that this year, of course, won't they?
Well, if you canvass literally everyone in Ireland at the moment that has any interest in football, would you give the job to Damien Duff and Joey O'Brien tomorrow? What would they say?
It depends. Anybody who has interest in football or anybody who has interest in the League of Ireland?
Because in football?
No. Any of the people who follow the Irish international team but not the League of Ireland wouldn't touch it. I still think wouldn't touch a League of Ireland manager again at the moment.
Not even Damien Duff?
I don't think so. I think if they don't go to League of Ireland games and they don't respect the League of Ireland, then I think they would kind of just diminish what Duffer is doing.
Yet they'd implore Lee Carsley to take the job who hasn't coached at senior level.
I think they would, yeah. I'm obviously not saying they're right, but I think they would, yeah. I think you'd have a huge amount of people.
I'd be a bit more on the fence there. I think Duffer holds a middle ground because of what he's achieved as a player, that he probably attracts a bit of both.
Yeah.
Though in saying that, Aisling O'Reilly, my colleague, did a great interview with Duffer on Monday night. And like the draw of Duffer, I think it's got about 400,000 views online. But what is striking, comments underneath it, and even the comments we're getting tonight, Duffer will have no problem creating a siege mentality around shells. nobody likes them.
Little old shells.
Nobody likes you, Shane.
The thing at the end as well, here's your man, the boss lad, say we went down and all. Dylan Connolly was the biggest diver on the pitch all game. Just before I go as well, is I was trying to find the penalty. It's hard to know what it was. There was soft fouls all game, to be honest. But I'm not checking the highlights, and there's no incident given for a penalty. Like, what? Like, who makes these FAI highlight videos? Like, there's no penalty incident. Like, so you give a penalty, but you just show the penalty. Like, that's outrageous. Like,
Nathan, I've just
on the highlights.
The foul's not on the highlights, because before I wanted to come on, I couldn't really see it, and I was like, I would have said that was a penalty. It wasn't. I don't know. But
well, listen, a lot of FAI people listening, we'll have that fixed by the morning.
It's not. Yeah, it's just, let's create a 6-minute highlight video, but you don't show a penalty.
Nathan, listening to Shane completely dismiss all of the comments made by our previous caller leads me to think that the one thing this show is missing so far is where we actually let on two fans of opposite teams who were at the same game on the same night.
Well, your wish, Shane, is about to come true because Barry is back.
Oh, he's back, is he? Oh, it is Barry. Yeah, I see him, hear him.
He's ready. He's ready for you, Shane.
Hello?
Hello. Barry, come on. He reckons you're an absolute spoofer.
I didn't say that. Now, I said it was more than it was 3 or 4 minutes, not 40 minutes.
No, I was listening to it. We're on the bus. I was meeting my young lad around the bus. So I would agree. Dylan Connolly went down several times. Yeah, no, like, not disagreeing there, but like, he went down, whereas, like, he went down for the sake of going down, whereas the Shells boys knew when to go down, when to kill the game, when to take the sting out of it. You know, that kind of way, it was, you know.
You don't need Damien Duff to tell you, I went 2-0 to go here, let's try and milk this foul and waste the win.
Well, to be fair, well, you know, send Bowles to the park down, mate, because we're watching them long enough now and they're still not doing it. I thought in the first half we done well, but I knew, like, in my heart, so Shells knew that's what was going to happen. It was going to be fire and brimstone. Bowles would give everything they have for half an hour or so, and then they run out of steam. And I remember there's about 30, 35 minutes in, it was like the whole team just went, oof, I'm wrecked, do you know? And it just died off then to half time. And then after the break, Shells came out and just stuck to their game.
Oh, so the first half, that was also 3 or 4 minutes of, like, we completely had all the ball in the first half. We usually want to do a different game.
Johnny, I think we can just log off, can we?
Yeah.
I'm logged off my head here.
Yeah. The penalty, though, if anyone can find the penalty incident, then obviously that's the key moment for the referee to give it. I couldn't see it in our stand. We were behind Boydie. He goes down.
No, we were looking straight. I was literally looking, like I was kind of on the edge of the 18 as where I was standing, looking straight across him. And like the Cian Byrne stopped it, and Boydie, you know, his momentum just kept him going and he went down. And just the way it is at the minute, it was going to be given. Like if the shoe was on the other foot, I would have been saying it's a stonewaller. But I think the reason the FAI don't put it in the highlights is because then the likes of me, you, whoever, can stop it and go start tweeting saying, look at this is a joke.
They had Hubin going in it last week. I just don't understand why it's not in it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's look, you know, it's.
Well, anyway, Shane, you stay where you are. Johnny, you keep that something, whatever you want to call it, shut and leave Shane where he is. Declan's doing a great job at Bowes.
Shane, Barry, fair play to both of you. Thanks a lot for hopping on. We'll talk to you again. Season rolls on. We're going to get to Super Drogs in just a moment. He's going from Super Drogs to just Grand Drogs and becoming very pissed off Drogs as the evening goes on. A couple of comments in I want to get your thoughts on, lads. Kenny Carroll, teams with a huge turnover of players this season on season, it's going to catch up with them sooner or later. Is that one of the issues for Dundalk here?
Yeah, I think
Shane, there's four or five lads who are still there, but the other six seem to change every year.
Yeah, it's again the boys that have such a history of following the league, they probably have stats on this kind of thing, but it just seems this year I kind of called the league a week ago, I called it the league of loans, because it's just unbelievable how many loans there are in the league at the moment. It really is.
Like the thing with Stevie is that like he's gone into Dundalk. It's probably not the most attractive club if you have better options in Dublin or Derry, who seem to have a very good budget. And what I would slightly worry about with Stevie is not so much Stevie at all. It's more so at the start of the season, he's almost kind of contradicting the new owner in terms of their ambitions. The new owner has, like, you know, Martin Connolly is gone, which I thought was a bit of a red flag. What's going on behind the scenes? And that's kind of what I'd worry about, as opposed to what structure Stevie will put on this team. It's more the whole kind of picture at Dundalk. I'm not saying they're favourites to go down, like
you literally
kind of did say that, but like,
literally what you said.
Are they favourites to go down? Maybe they are, but they should get things together. I would worry for them, but they should be able to improve if Stevie remains in charge and is backed by the board.
John Carley, Galway good tonight, but Drogheda defended well. Is there a fear about a lack of goals for Galway this season?
That's for you, Johnny.
Absolutely. Now, like, Stephen Walsh obviously came back in tonight. Wasim hasn't started yet, but I wouldn't overly worry about that. It's the structure of the team and the fact they're so good defensively. Like, I'm not saying Galway United are going to be challenging for Europe, but in terms of relegation scrap, they're going to be very tough to beat. Haven't created an awful lot of chances, but like, we're probably one striker away from being almost a mid-table side, I would say. Wouldn't be a major worry at all. It's the structure of the team, looks very, very solid. Conor McCormick as well, lad. Since he's started that Bikram yoga, he's a different player.
There's the inside. You don't get that inside anywhere else, Nathan.
I'll tell you what. Google chat, jury's still out on Ian Ryan. I think we came back tonight in spite of him rather than because of him. Criminal that Almiral, Morgan and Grogan didn't start. They completely changed the game in our favour. Jury's still out on Ian Ryan?
Yeah, he's look, they're off to, I would have expected a much better start from them, Nathan. No doubt. Look, they would have been, you know, very, very annoyed and frustrated that they didn't feature in the playoff picture last year. Obviously, Ian went there on the back of a really impressive job at Wexford. We all remember that he was been strongly linked with the Bowes job at the time that Decky got it. There was even talk that he had turned it down. I'm not sure whether there was any in that or not. But he was, you know,
was it a really impressive job at Wexford, Shane?
You're a guy who got Wexford out of nothing into the top flight. Was it a really impressive job relative to that?
Look, it's kind of different times, I suppose, so it is. It was maybe set up back then for us to kind of ambush it, whereas everybody kind of knows that bit more about everybody nowadays. Look, they certainly were playing a very, very attractive brand of football, that's for sure. And that is the thing with Ian. Ian will live or die by that sword, in fairness to him. And as a look, I'll be honest with you, as an opposition manager, I quite enjoyed coming up against his sides because you knew that they were going to stick to those principles of play, and therefore you could very much set up to go after them in a manner knowing what was coming. But it is to be admired that he is, you know, they definitely do play attractive football, but unless the results are coming with it. And budget-wise, look, everybody will argue on budgets, Nathan. We all try and pull the wool over each other's eyes in terms of what sort of money each other have. But I would have thought that that Bray's budget this year seemed to me to be top four in the league. So therefore, anything other than a top four finish to me would be underperformance. So he badly needed that comeback. That's a big point for them tonight.
I did wonder at the start of the season whether people even outside of Dublin, the Shells will become everyone's second favourite team because of the Duffer factor and the love that is there for Duffer. I think it's fair to say I've got that horribly, horribly wrong. A lot of people are not happy with the other Shane, the Shell supporter. Let's go to our last caller, Super Drogs, who could also feel a little bit patronised tonight because Super Drogs, the expectation and every comment is, well, surely Galway should be beating Drogheda if they have any aspirations of doing anything.
I mean, I don't argue with it. It is fair enough. But to be honest, I thought tonight, again, you know, it's not fantastic by any means. But I mean, I personally thought, and I think a lot of fans kind of thought as well, it was quite an even game. Like, I was just looking at the stats there. Like, I mean, Galway had 54 possession, we 46. Or shots on target, we had two. I mean, defensive-wise, I thought both teams were, like, fantastic. Like, I mean, Rodda's defence, Evan Weir was just, and Gary Deegan, the cover, they were just fantastic. I just thought midfield, both teams, again, I know conditions, I just listened to Ollie Horgan's kind of interview there, conditions were very, very poor, so I mean, it was a very scrappy game. But I mean, overall, I mean, a point away, 4 points out of six in the past two games, you know, Monday and tonight. So, I mean, overall, I think Drogheda fans are quite happy with that.
Johnny, you're the one to respond first. You're there.
Yeah, like I think midfield wise we've been exceptional. Like, and you know, you're talking about first 11s and you're looking at them, and I made a terrible call last season, and I think it didn't go down at all well in the Galway United dressing room, just finally, where I almost saying what you're saying now, Shane, I was like, how many of these Galway United players will get on that Dundalk team in the cup? And I fancied Dundalk to win. We absolutely battered Dundalk and proved it wasn't a one-off by then going to Dundalk and doing them their high line and all of that. And like, you know, Borden comes in like unheralded player. Conor McCormick, who said a couple of years ago that he thought his best days were probably behind him. Ed McCarthy was a player I'd say a lot of Premier Division fans didn't really know about. And we're very, very good in midfield. Like, if you asked Jamie Duff about Galway United, the way they played, particularly the first half on Monday night, it wasn't like kick and rush stuff. It was very good. Real confidence as well. And there's a real self-belief in that team. And it's funny watching, like, Nathan will attest to this. He's a regular at Talca Park. When you're watching the sideline, and it's kind of like part of the whole pantomime is watching Duff and what he does. But when you watch Ollie Horgan and John Caulfield, who's now kind of the good cop of the bad cop, good cop situation, they're just working really well. They're working really well, and they have the players playing like they know what they're doing, and it's not bad football to watch. And I slate a Galway United for our style of football in the Premier Division, but we were very dominant in midfield tonight, like really, really dominant. We just couldn't score.
What about Drogheda overall, based on what you've seen so far, Pádraig? Do you think you've got it in you to stay out of it again?
Considering the way we're going, I think we changed into that back four. I think we're very compact today. I don't think I personally, I know you disagree with Johnny as well, but I don't think Galway had, I know in the first half they had two or three chances, but I mean, other than that, it was quite a game where it was long balls kind of both sides, even enough possession, two shots on target. I just don't think the season, what I mean, and you know, Galway had a very good chance at the end. But I mean, other than that, I thought the game tonight was quite even. And if Drogheda can go away like that and defend like that, you know, you'd be hopeful you can nick a few points here and there. Like tonight is a huge point for us, and after beating Bowes on Monday, so we go against Sligo kind of next week.
I know one of the guys earlier was saying, oh, you got to be beating Drogheda at home. But like, I think Nathan and Shane, you'll both agree with this. Like, if you take sort of the top three or four out, not a great deal between five or six teams there. It's going to just be very competitive week to week.
Well, I was going to ask you on that, Shane, that actually this is, in tonight's game in a way, is the toughest game of the season for Galway. This and at home against Waterford, where they're actually expected to do something, where they're expected to maybe at home go and dominate a match. Whereas generally against all other opposition, their style of play will suit them perfectly, where, you know, they'll make life bloody awkward, they'll nick points here, there and everywhere. And actually at home against teams of a similar caliber, well, that's going to be out of kilter with everything else they're doing.
Yeah, I think you make a fair point there, in fairness. I think that is good. I'd agree with Johnny's point that, like, it's, you know, we now have it probably half a dozen teams where it's best to look to any of them to see if they can say that they fully expect not to be kind of, you know, on shaky-ish ground, probably still maybe heading into the final quarter of the season. And at the same time, of those same six sides, there's probably one or two of them that are capable of outperforming what we think and are actually going to end up the other way and are going to end up in the top half challenging for maybe even for a European spot. We just don't know who's going to be the ones that are going to break out. Is it, look, so far it did look like it might be Waterford. Galway have at times shown that they might be good enough to stay away from it. But it's very, very hard to call. I think it's, look, we've said it before, it's going to be the most interesting relegation battle we've had. I don't know if Parik is still there. Just again, one player, Parik, that I just wanted to ask on was Conor Kane. What's going on? He is a player who I just thought was so impressive up until a couple of a season or two ago, and it just, the wheels seem to have come off for him there. Is he out of the side completely at the moment? Is he injured? Is he just, has his career stalled? What's going on with him? I thought he was going to end up, you know, potentially playing left back for a team that was regularly qualifying for Europe in the League of Ireland.
To be honest, I'm not 100% sure. I know, like, I mean, going off his performance tonight, Evan Weir is playing left back, and he's obviously on loan from Walsall. But I mean, like, coming up against Evan, played off a fantastic tonight. I thought he was really, really good. So when you've that type of competition, and I'm pretty sure that's what Kevin is kind of trying to create. I think he knows that he's just, and like Conor Kane, I think is fantastic as well. They played the back five at the start of the year, and he was in the team. So I'm not 100% sure, but I do think Conor Kane's fantastic as well. But like, if you're looking like the defensive back four this evening, I don't know, Conor Kane needs to keep pushing, because that back four tonight was really, really good.
Fair play.
All right, Porrig, you're on the way home. Safe home.
Thanks.
Calling in again. That is pretty much us done, I think, for tonight for League of Ireland late night. Johnny, this night next week, I'm making the trip. Park. Are you going to be
it's
there?
Going to be good, yeah.
See
ya. Yeah, I'm in Milton Keynes working for Cheltenham next week, but yeah, that's going to be something else. So I'm going to try and frantically get back for that. But just my last word, Shane is saying it's not a time to make kind of early judgments or rash judgments. Like, it is a time to do that. That's exactly, like, you know, I'm like a bad Eamon Dunphy where I say Dundalk are basically favourites to get relegated, and then half an hour later say they're not favourites to get relegated.
Who's in the playoffs? Yeah, so they're gone.
Dundalk are neither good nor bad, basically, but this is a seriously good late-night Twitter space.
Yeah, well, it's usually you, Johnny. We usually leave the outlandish statements to you, but I'm already dreading my any Twitter mentions in relation to my Shell Dundalk starting 11 being better than Shell's one. I'm peddling back from that one furiously here as I look at both team sheets in front of me.
Who wins the league, lads?
Rovers. Who goes Rovers. Down? Who goes down Rovers. Is a far more interesting question.
Yeah, I've called this tonight several times, and I was obviously wrong, but yeah, I think watch this space in terms of what Dundalk do off the pitch.
All right, Johnny Ward, Shane Keegan, great stuff as always. League of Ireland late night every Friday night, 10 o'clock. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck.
League of Ireland late night
on Off the Ball with 888 Casino, 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.